your phone or tablet today. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama News Network. I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. No arrests in a Monday morning homicide. Montgomery police say 19-year-old Eric Johnson was found shot inside a car that had crashed in the 700 block of Coliseum Boulevard yesterday morning. Police believe the shooting happened near the site of the accident. A U.S. soldier who trained at Fort Rucker is among three people killed in an attack on a military base in Kenya. The family of Henry Mayfield Jr. of Hazelcrest, Illinois, confirms his death. The 23-year-old held the rank of Army Specialist. And Department of Corrections officials arrest four people on drug charges during visitation at Elmore Correctional Facility. Authorities say the drugs were found during pat-downs and vehicle searches during the visitation period. All four are being held in the Elmore County Jail. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
It's time for some straight talk. Some choices don't require a brain, like getting the new iPhone 11 with the ultra-wide camera. Do you want an expensive plan with a contract or an affordable plan with no contract? Like I said, a no-brainer. Why pay more for the same network? Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get a plan that's up to half the cost of big carriers, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See straighttalk.com.
The Home Depot has a secret recipe for new kitchen appliances. Up to 30% off appliance special buys. Like a stainless steel Whirlpool kitchen package for only $19.98. You get a side-by-side refrigerator, electric range, dishwasher, microwave, and for a limited time, over $1,000 off. Guess the secret's out. Save now on a Whirlpool kitchen. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. Gas Extra. See store for details. Valid through February 26th.
With as much waste as your business generates, it's important to know where it's all going to go. With Alabama Dumpster Service, it goes right into that familiar red dumpster or roll-off container, delivered straight to you. As we celebrate our 20th year, our customers know they can count on friendly customer service and reliable, competitive pricing. With Alabama Dumpster Service, the rate you agreed to is always the rate you'll pay. Call today at 334-288-1500 or learn more at alabamadumpster.com.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
I guess all of us have had the experience of getting into a discussion and coming up with the right answer 2 hours later when we're all alone. I'll be right back. My award for someone who thought of the right answer while the discussion was still going on is a young man named Brad Lanaweaver, a member of Young Americans for Freedom at Pennsylvania State University. He has written of an encounter on the campus with a pretty young lady who believes socialism is the answer to our problems. His own philosophy was self-evident because he was wearing a button that proclaimed, "Cut down big government." With the cool breeze stirring her hair, she asked what Brad described as her ace-up-the-sleeve question. Even you right-wingers don't want to starve. Wouldn't you like a guarantee that you won't ever go hungry? Brad knew that if he admitted to this, she'd follow with, "So why not such a guarantee for shelter, medicine, and all the rest?" He paused, and then gave her the victory she was seeking, or so she thought. He said, "Sure, I'd like to lay my hands on everything I can get." "Oh," she said, "but the state is the closest you can come to such a guarantee." Brad described her as braced for a counterattack involving the magic of the market mechanism, but he threw another curve. "Sure," he said, "I grant that. There's something more. I'd like a guarantee of shelter and medical treatment and even some recreation." She must have thought she had a convert. A little shocked, she spoke, "But that's what we support. Why are you wearing that button?" She meant, of course, that cut-down big government button. Brad wasn't finished. He said to her, "I would also like a yacht." Somewhat defeated, she answered, "Well, if you're not going to be serious about it." "But I am," Brad said as earnestly as he could. "I would really and truly like a yacht. Also a seaside villa." "Look," she said sternly, "you know what I'm talking about. Sharing. I'm not interested in your greedy daydreams. I'm asking what everyone should have." "All right," Brad answered, "I understand. Let everyone have a yacht." But how, she asked lucidly with the first sign of a rational thought. Don't bother me with that, he said. There'll be a way, I'm sure. Just so everyone has a yacht. However, there is one more thing I would like. What, she asked. Two yachts. Brad wrote that she looked rather unpleasant at that point, and he feared for his safety. Then she declared, it's people like you who keep socialism from working. And Brad agreed. Yes, quite right. Perhaps if people like me were put away somewhere, socialism would have a chance. By now, she was really glaring as she tried to think of an answer. Brad continued, but there's still one problem. How many are there, like me? Well, not as many as you think, she said, and walked away. And then Brad came up with a really appropriate last line. He wrote, there she's wrong, and that's why she's a socialist. How right he is. Socialists ignore the side of man that is of the spirit. They can provide shelter, fill your belly with bacon and beans, treat you when you're ill, all the things that are guaranteed to a prisoner or a slave. They don't understand that we also dream. Yes, even of sometime owning a yacht. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
59 degrees outside. Stock market is up. Down, sorry, 105 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself. The one and only Joey Clark.
Hello, hello,
hello. How you doing today, big guy?
I'm doing all right.
And it's gorgeous outside.
It really is.
This really is like move the station, move the studio outside.
Right.
Some lawn chairs.
Well, you've heard about the tiki bar plans.
Right? Ah, yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm all in for that.
That sounds fun.
With tiki lamps, too?
Yeah. Yeah, tiki torches were out for a while, given what all those idiots did in Charlottesville. Yeah. But
they're
back.
They're fashionable.
As long as you're doing it to get rid of, well, no, actually, never mind. I'm not even
going to
say that.
You're going to go to the mosquito
room? No.
Don't do that, yeah.
They kind of ruined that.
It does the ambiance that's out there. Okay, 272-9228, that's where we are. Any caller can get in on this weekly Farm Market Gift Basket drawing. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Also get the Perez, too. It's, there you go. Good job. Look at that. You just knocked this stuff out. You ought to consider doing this for a living.
Yeah.
Love it. Then first-time callers can get their name put into the drawing twice. And that just increases your odds of being very successful and having a great weekend with this weekly Farm Market gift basket. I've got to go down and get some of that jam that that Jack was talking about.
Oh, the May, Mayhan gel or something.
Comes
like that.
From over there.
Yeah, the stuff that tastes like raspberries or blackberries.
There you go.
Whatever.
Well, somebody was telling me that they had gotten some jams that were out there and said they were really, really good, and they did those the biscuits that you know, pop in fresh biscuits,
yeah.
And they said really good. I love those things. Good show. Let's
I was about to say, we got to do this for another about 2 hours, 50 minutes.
Yeah,
we can't eat
good.
Or anything.
Okay, let's see. We got a lot kind of going on. So DOJ is recommending 6 months for Michael Flynn. Do you think there's anything behind that?
I mean, my initial, I haven't had a chance to look at it. I just saw the headline. I think when you fight back and the judge says no, then the prosecutors kind of punish you for not cooperating. But is there something else more to this beyond that?
I think there may be, because I got wind of this last night, actually.
Okay.
And here's something to think about. There are going to be a whole bunch of people that have lied to the FBI, McKay being one of them. Possibly Comey, if you remember correctly.
Right.
Then Brennan and some other people have been interviewed also. So what they do is they go in, and all these people that lie, you have a standard now of 6 months, asking for 6 months up front, because DOJ is asking for it. The judge does not have to grant this, by the way. They're just asking for it. It's up to the judge's discretion of whether they're going to do this or not. So one of several things could happen. The judge could say, no, I'm going to do what the original deal was. We're going to do like a day at the food court at prison. your choice of anything on the menu. Or they could do 6 months, but do it as a probation, which I understand. I did not know this until somebody with DOJ knowledge, let's say, told me this. So the judge could go, okay, 1 day of confinement, 6 months of probation, and then they grant it, basically they did what the DOJ wanted them to do. Or they could do the 6 months, and then Trump could pardon. Well, that, there's a little political issue with that, but... So then you've got McCabe and all these other people that their beginning opening salvo is 6 months. So be thinking of it in that manner.
And there's, I think, more than that. I mean, even Catherine Herridge continues...
6 months per count.
Catherine Herridge continues on Twitter to break down the Horowitz report, and it's just really juicy stuff. For instance...
You said juicy.
Juicy, juicy details. For instance, the Obama administration, before the Crossfire Hurricane investigators opened up, Obama and his national security team were briefed by Comey, and Comey, because he wasn't read back into a security clearance, all he could say is, I somewhat recall talking about... four persons of interest might be connected to Russia and the Trump campaign. But then here's the most interesting thing. Herridge says in the report itself, they open up Crossfire Hurricane on July 31st. But when they open it, they don't have any suspects, any persons of interest.
They just open it.
They just opened it. And then 10 days later, they have four people. They have George Papadopoulos. They have Carter Page.
Say Papadopoulos again.
Papa B. Or not Papa
B. Papadopoulos.
Or I was thinking of Mr. Papa Giorgio from Vegas Vacation. And then Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn. So it's interesting. After y'all open this, it takes you 10 days to come up with these four guys that you opened individual cases on. Yet before you open the investigation, you're already talking about these four persons. And there's also notes in McCabe's recollections of... people talking about how the other agency might have briefed the POTUS on some of this stuff, which we suspect is the CIA.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's go to Joe DeGeneva. This was actually last week, but he's going to be talking about Susan Rice's emails. And thank you, Susan, for doing that. It's self-evident.
Well, former U.S. Attorney Joe DeGeneva says that President Obama knew all about the FBI's targeting of President Trump and that people still don't understand the extent of the CIA's involvement. He claims that former FBI Director James Comey and former CIA Director John Brennan were the leaders of a coup to reverse the election of President Trump. One America's John Hines has more in this exclusive interview.
Do people go to jail for this, and why not?
People should go to jail for the Carter Page stuff, the lying on the FISA warrants, the misleading the FISA courts, submitting false documents to the FISA courts. Those are all felonious acts. For me, what matters is accountability at this point. You have two institutions that are vital to American freedom, the FBI and the Justice Department. They were completely corrupted under two attorneys general, Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch, with the authority and knowledge of the then President of the United States, Barack Obama. And you'll never forget, I'm sure, that famous Susan Rice email on Inauguration Day of Donald Trump, where she sends an email to the file.
Memorializing
that there had been a meeting on January 5th with the President of the United States, all senior law enforcement and intelligence officials, where they reviewed the status of Crossfire Hurricane, and the President announced, President Obama, that he was sure that everything had been done by the book. I must say, I want to thank Susan Rice for being so stupid and so arrogant to write that email on January 20th, because that's Exhibit A. For that Barack Obama knew all about this from start to finish and was more than happy to have the civil rights of massive numbers of Americans violated so he could get Donald Trump.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Now, notice that he said, and they lied, and then think about the DOJ thing. So is the lying on a document and lying about a document the same thing as lying to an FBI agent? And you would think so.
Yeah, because it's not just an agent, right? It's any sort of false presentation to the government.
Exactly. What he said. I thought that was very timely. I did not expect this to happen today.
So that's an interesting angle. I assumed these prosecutors hate it when you fight, so they'll come at you hard if you lose a fight. But this makes sense that Flynn is essentially a sacrificial lamb to create the standard that if you lie, you get 6 months just to begin with.
Well, and all they're doing is they're asking for it. It does not mean that they're going to get it, but they're setting a standard of a minimum of 6 months.
No, Sullivan.
Per incident.
It should be interesting to see what Judge Sullivan does, because he's been kind of hard-nosed on this case and towards Flynn. So I wonder if he takes that recommendation, does less, does more. But just the recommendation sort of lays out the standard for the DOJ.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Something to think about. Let's listen to the second part of this interview.
But you knew this was going on before it officially became known. I mean, you've been talking about this. How did you know?
Because here's the thing about this. This was not hard. If you're a good prosecutor, you look at the facts in the Trump case and the Page case, the Flynn case, there's only one conclusion you can come to. None of this makes any sense. None of these people were evil. None of them. They were framed, and the whole process was playing out. And you knew it on July 5th, 2016, when James Comey announced, usurping the functions of the Attorney General, that no reasonable prosecutor would bring a case against Hillary Clinton. That was ludicrous. She destroyed 30,000 emails that were under subpoena. If you or I did that, we would be in prison today. She got a break because she was Hillary Clinton, and James Comey was trying to kiss her fanny because he wanted something from her when she became president of the United States. All of these people who watched that news conference and didn't think that that was a disgrace for the FBI, and then subsequently watched all this stuff involving Trump and Page and Papadopoulos and Michael Flynn and couldn't see that the corrupt investigative process of the FBI and the DOJ was being used to basically conduct a coup d'etat. I mean, you have to be an idiot. Any first-year assistant U.S. attorney would look at all these facts and say, there's a coup underway. There's a conspiracy. But for those of us who thought that, the Washington Post, the New York Times, we were conspiracy theorists. You know what? Pretty damn good theory, it appears today.
Spot on. The other little wrinkle to this is when DOJ changes its agreement, then Michael Flynn is free to do whatever he wants to. He can go in and say, I want to retry the case. I'm presenting new evidence, all sorts of stuff that is there. And you remember we had the Sidney Powell?
Yeah.
We had the tapes of her. She's pretty tough. A little Texas defender. News on 93.1. Thought you guys would like that.
That's good stuff.
We'll be back right after this.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A Montgomery firefighter called us with a four-alarm financial fiasco. He wanted to retire early, but had to clear up considerable credit card debt. Alabama Home Mortgage cut his monthly payment by $636 and got him $37,000 to extinguish the credit card inferno.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly payments much sooner than you ever thought was possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you could save with your Alabama Home Mortgage.
package. Folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. Call 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com and apply today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Come on, boy. Finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Tired of my voice yet? It's Tiffany Coleman. My husband is Jeff Coleman, who's running for Congress. Jeff's in the moving van business, Coleman Worldwide. He's the fourth generation to run it, since his grandfather was helping people move in a horse and wagon. He started working for him when he was 10. Says he could only lift a lampshade. For a few summers, he worked with a man he just loved called Baby Cakes. Now, Baby Cakes couldn't read much, so he did the driving and the heavy lifting while Jeff was the navigator. Then came college and the best part of his life. He met me. I'll tell you about that the next time we talk.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message, paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
And I haven't seen.
We got some things left over from yesterday I want to get back to. We were just plumb full yesterday. Let's listen to John Ratliff, who House Judicial and Intel Committee, really sharp guy. He's going to be talking about the Dems' response to the killing of General Soleimani.
Much reaction this morning to the killing of Iran's top military commander, including from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who tweeted this. We are outraged the president would assassinate a foreign official, possibly setting off another war without congressional authorization, and has zero plan to deal with the consequences. But of course, you know that. Writes Ilhan Omar. Joining me right now is Texas Congressman John Ratcliffe. As the House gets ready to watch what takes place next in terms of an impeachment trial, we now have this pushback from critics of the president about the killing of Soleimani. Your reaction?
Well, it's disappointing, but it's not surprising. You just mentioned Congresswoman Omar and her tweet. Think about what she said when 3,000 Americans were killed by terrorists on 9/11. Recently, she said, some people did something. When the United States kills a terrorist, her response is she's outraged at assassinating a foreign leader. Maria, this was not a foreign leader. This was a designated terrorist. And do you know who designated him a terrorist? The Obama administration. So, you know, it may be a new year and it may be a new decade, but it's the same vindictive, progressive, socialist mob that wrongfully impeached a president at the end of last year, and they're starting off where they left off.
There really are. That Representative Omar's statement was just so. And the whole way the Democrats are handling this, when we kind of get deeper into this with Brit Hume and some others, but they're coming across so bad on this, of the way, under the category of what has Trump done wrong today? Well, he killed a terrorist, and so that's what he's done wrong today. Even Morning Joe today was doing it. And it just amazes me. Now, Ratliff, no articles on No articles and no impeachment. The Dems are stuck.
Nancy Pelosi is sitting on those articles of impeachment. She's not sending them over to the Senate yet. I imagine she's looking for more dirt on President Trump or whatever she's doing. Could she use this, the takedown of a terrorist, as another article?
Well, she can, because she has the votes there. Very clearly, they just wrongfully impeached the president on two articles. They could certainly try to do the same thing with the third. But, you know, the American people see through this. They know that this was political. It always was. You know, there's a reason, Maria, that at the same time Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler on December 18th were saying, we can't wait a single day more. We've got to impeach this president right now. That down the hall, Senator Schumer was already saying, we can't have a Senate trial without more evidence and more testimony. Because he knew it was going to be dead on arrival over in the Senate, and it will be. And that's why, despite that professed urgency on December 18th to impeach right now with everything we need, it's now been almost 3 weeks and she hasn't taken any action. She's let that progressive, socialist, democratic mob walk her into a box canyon. She's put a gun to her own head, and she's looking for Mitch McConnell to give her a way out, and he's not going to do that.
It, excuse me, the imagery that they were creating, putting a gun to your head, to her head, and this kind of stuff, they need to kind of back off just a little bit. They are getting their messaging down really well. You're going to see, hear some stuff that Kevin McCarthy and others are going to say, that they really nailed some of the messaging. They've got it right, and I assume they're doing focus groups on this. Skip that one, and let's go to the next one, number four here. In the president's defense, this is Ratliff, who was a former U.S. prosecutor.
So what is the president's defense at this point, then? Tell us what that looks like in terms of a Senate trial, hypothetically speaking, that she does send the articles over within the next week and a half.
Just listen to Senator Graham talk about how it should proceed. To remind your viewers what happened during the Clinton impeachment, senators voted 100-0 to proceed under what are called the Clinton rules. Chuck Schumer was one of those 100. So there was a unanimous decision about how this should proceed and how it would be fair. Chuck Schumer's now pointing to those same rules, calling them absurd and saying they would be unfair. I think that Senator Graham outlined what should happen. She should transmit the articles of impeachment. There would be opening statements. There would be presentations by the House managers and by the president's defense team. Senators would be allowed to ask questions of each side, and then the senators would decide whether or not there would be a need for any additional testimony or evidence. But this is supposed to be based on the House record, and the Democrats had every opportunity to call any witness that they wanted, and for them now to say we need more evidence and more testimony really shows that what a constitutional scholar and Democrat, Jonathan Turley, said was just absolutely accurate. This was the thinnest, fastest, weakest impeachment in U.S. history, and to proceed along the lines they did was an abuse of Congress.
News Zone 93.1, Dan Moore Show, we'll be back right after this.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Angels for the Elderly is a specialty in memory care community in the heart of Montgomery. We have a knowledgeable team with many years of experience dedicated to serving those battling Alzheimer's disease or other memory-related diseases. Angels for the Elderly is a faith-inspired community that also provides one-of-a-kind programs centered around our residents and their individual personalities.
My name is Rob. My mom moved to Angels about 2 years ago. She's become involved in the many social activities offered at Angels. One of the highlights of Mom's Week is having her hair done by the on-site beautician and having her nails done by the staff. If you're looking for a specialty care facility for yourself or for a loved one, I would encourage you to contact the staff at Angels.
You can find out more about Angels for the Elderly and our home-like environments at angelsfortheelderly.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling 334-270-8050 to schedule your tour today. Angels for the Elderly. Compassion is at the heart of our care.
Lewis at the Capital Oyster Bar, and I just want to tell you, if you're in business or got an event coming up and want to do some advertising, wisely spent dollars are spent down here at Blue Water Broadcasting. All the guys are nice, easy to work with, and I see results, I guarantee you.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. An arrest in the case of Jennifer Dulos, the Connecticut mother of five missing since May. It's her estranged husband.
Fotis Dulos has been taken into custody at his home in Farmington. His attorney has just given a press conference saying he has not seen the warrant, but he is being told it is for the crime of murder. And he says that credible sources tell him that two others are being arrested today as well.
Fox's Laura Engel. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo continues to insist the U.S. was right to strike Iranian General Qasem Soleimani.
He did not provide any new evidence that a strike on U.S. forces was imminent, but talked about Iran's involvement in Afghanistan and its support for the Taliban's Haqqani network, which is baffling and an exaggeration at best, given that Pakistan is well known to be the main force backing the Haqqani network.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. America's listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have kind of a brisk day today with gusty northwesterly winds, but still a nice day. Lots of sun. High temperature in the upper 50s to around 60. Clear, cold tonight. The winds die down, low 32. Sunshine nice tomorrow, low to mid-60s. We're still dry Thursday with highs in the upper 60s. Maybe low 70s on Friday with the risk of a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. But all eyes on Saturday. And the concern grows for severe weather. We're now in a level 3 out of 5, an enhanced risk for severe thunderstorms and tornadoes on Saturday. Just a heads up to stay weather aware on this situation and get our weather app on your phone or tablet today. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
.27 .29 .228 is where we are. I'm going to start drinking some hot tea here. Hey, Radcliffe is going to get into, back to the subject we were just on, Durham may connect the Obama administration to the FISA warrants and such. Listen in.
And yet, it once again has taken all the oxygen out of the room. I mean, you know, we have sat here for now 3 years, Congressman, you and me, coming on this program virtually every Sunday, talking about the abuse at the top of the FBI in 2016. We now know, based on the IG report, we now know, based on a criminal investigation undergoing at John Durham's office, that there was wrongdoing, possibly criminal wrongdoing, and yet the Democrats are not even acknowledging this. So where do we stand on that? And do you think there's going to be accountability, knowing that there was abuse at the FISA court, knowing that there was leaking and lying under oath?
I do. I think there is going to be accountability. I think that sometimes justice delayed is not justice denied. I told your viewers repeatedly that John Durham couldn't act until the Inspector General Michael Horowitz issued his report. When he issued that report with those damning findings against the FBI and the Department of Justice and folks there tampering with evidence to continue a counterintelligence investigation wrongfully against first candidate Trump and then against a sitting president, John Durham came out that day and said he agreed with a lot of what the Inspector General had in terms of findings of fact, but disagreed with whether or not there was a proper predicate to begin this. Now we come up with evidence that's recently been reported that one of the folks that John Durham talked to was an embassy official who reached out to George Papadopoulos 3 months before Crossfire Hurricane was ever opened. That's a sign that John Durham is looking at the fact that this may include Obama administration officials beyond law enforcement, perhaps to include our intelligence community, folks like John Brennan. And based on his reputation and his prior work, I have every confidence that John Durham will help share the truth with the American people, and they'll get a better picture of really how the Democratic administration before this one targeted President Trump and was aided by Democrats who paid for Russian disinformation to try and frame this president before he ever got into office.
Pretty bold.
Well, and I've been mentioning Catherine Herridge yesterday. She tweeted a picture of her markup of page 77 of the Horowitz report.
Yeah.
Here's her tweet about it. August. So, yeah, August of 2016, right after they open up this investigation, meeting with a President Obama national security team in Situation Room about whether U.S. persons working with Russia. Comey, quote, did not recall exactly what he said. He may have said there were four individuals with some association or connection to the Trump campaign. So, right there, Comey suggested.
And that meeting took place in the Situation Room?
Situation Room, August 2016. June, July, August. Right after they opened it up. Interesting.
Right after they got the warrant. Interesting is right. Well, Ratcliffe was pretty bold there. And that the next part is he's going to basically say, we may find Brennan was involved in this thing big time.
Pretty extraordinary, the fact that for 2.5 years, John Brennan was all over TV on MSNBC and CNN saying that President Trump committed treason. And now we know that John Durham is looking at the communication of John Brennan. And whether or not the direction came from John Brennan to put all of these spies and informants and attachés, if you will, across the world, getting them to go meet with people like George Papadopoulos and Carter Page, who were on President Trump's team.
Foreign officials at our U.S. embassies overseas going to meet with a campaign official for the Trump campaign, not in their official capacity, but the explanation that they give is just out of personal curiosity. It's not their job, but beyond that, it doesn't make any sense. Look, here's what I can tell your viewers is, Trey Gowdy and I were the only Republicans that were allowed to see all of the classified documents back during the FISA abuse investigation. And at that time, we both saw documents that reflected that John Brennan and Jim Comey gave conflicting testimony about the Steele dossier. Brennan says Comey was pushing the Steele dossier to be included in the intelligence community assessment. Comey says that it was Brennan that was pushing it. They both testified under oath before Congress and two investigators to that fact. They both can't be telling the truth. Those are the things that John Durham is focusing on. And again, I'm confident that justice delayed is not justice denied. There'll be a full accounting. I certainly hope there will be.
I like that. That was left over from Sunday and Sunday morning futures with Maria Bartiromo, excuse me, who has been getting excellent guests and has really been driving this issue probably better than anybody. Let's listen to Brett Hume talking about the Soleimani strike and kind of what's happening out there with this.
Senior political analyst Brett Hume joins. Your thoughts on how this strike plays? Obviously, we don't know what we don't know about what's to come, but as candidates are out there on the stump talking about it.
Well, I think the candidates are out on the stump on most, you know, on the Democratic side. Running for president are in a bit of a tight spot because it's by, you know, although they're all making it sound like terrible things are going to happen as a consequence of this, it's by no means clear that that's true. You know, Soleimani was the MVP, really, of Iran's terrorist ambitions, which were considerable, as we've seen. And, you know, his loss will be meaningful in Iran and will hinder its activities, especially because his number two guy was knocked off as well. So Democrats, you know, criticize this or make dire warnings at their peril. Now, obviously, it could turn out badly, and maybe that would work out for them. But I think it's dangerous for them, all of them, to find ways to criticize the president about this. They could certainly say, you know, we need a long-term policy and be critical about that. But criticizing the attack on Soleimani seems to me is a political risk for every one of them.
It really is, but it goes back to their nature as, what has Trump done wrong today? So what he did that day was he killed somebody, so that was wrong because it's what's wrong, what Trump has done wrong today. Interestingly, the national media is not, it basically is doing this as kind of a balanced story. What did Trump know? When did he know it? What was the really actionable intelligence? They're trying to kind of do that digging that's on there, questioning the president. The Democrats are aiding and abetting them. You go to the European press, it is a whole different ballgame out there. They're talking about how huge this is and that this guy is not replaceable at all. And using the terminology that Dr. Sorensen did, and that is, this guy was so highly respected among the rank and file troops that were there, and these guys were the elite. The one paper basically said they're the equivalent of the SS in the Nazis, that they were the go-to killers.
And also, it was a rare situation, because in the same way with the Nazis, because they were so ideological, often people that weren't really good at their job got high positions of power. And it probably also goes on with Iran, but Soleimani was a rare case where he was
He was really good at what he did.
Yeah, he was down with the cause, and he was really good at what he did.
And he was smart. I mean, he wanted to learn his craft and perfect it and then take the battle to the enemy. Interesting thing is, if he goes in and they do some kind of attack, are they going to be able to pull something off like they used to? What is their command and control that's there? What is he? I asked Sorensen about this, about communications, mm-hmm. and you talked about that these groups are kind of, they're isolated and they're kind of on their own type thing, but something has to be the kind of command and control, and I think the command and control is kind of gone.
Well, because it wasn't just Soleimani, it was several other leaders of these militias all over the region.
Right, and he was talking to them, and then they were talking to their folks and going in and doing things. Not necessarily a big battle plan, but if you're reading this in the European press, they're kind of saying, well, we're not sure that they can pull this stuff off like they used to be able to. They don't have the assets, they've taken it in the chin, they don't have the money. And this has been a major setback for them any way that you look at it. So let me start with Brett Hume now, talking about the Gang of Eight is getting briefed today and the Dems' risk here.
You know, tomorrow, the Gang of Eight, the leadership and the Intelligence Committee leaders are going to be briefed by the administration. Then Wednesday, full Senate and House briefing by the Secretaries of Defense and State, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the CIA Director. You saw the Senate Majority Leader today, Britt, say we should all be together as these threats develop and as these things move forward. There's not a lot of hope that that's going to happen, right?
No, I don't know. The old days when, you know, politics stopped at the water's edge, you know, they've been gone for a long time. And in this particularly heated atmosphere, with the intense feelings pro and con about President Trump, and with the Democratic, you know, primary in full swing, I think there's very little chance of unity. But it's probably a kind of a clever appeal for McConnell to make, because it will, you know, tend to make the lack of unity on this stand out. And if things go relatively well in the aftermath of this, and this begins to look like a smart and tough move by the president, it will perhaps to some extent underscore the Democrats' criticism of it for the risks that we just talked about.
It really is. And they're coming, they don't realize this, but they're coming out, coming across so poorly in this thing. It's like, and again, it's back to what has Trump done wrong today? They cannot find good in anything that Donald Trump does. Nothing. And so, therefore, there it's just this constant criticism. There was a guy that was on Fox and America's Newsroom today. I was stunned at some of the things that he said. I wish I could have gotten it cut in time to get on the show. Maybe I can. But they're not doing themselves justice. And you go into middle America, and you're going to hear about some of the blowback that they're getting from some of their constituents on this thing. Okay, Brent Hume is going to be talking about the witnesses that may be appearing before impeachment and John Bolton.
We saw tonight Mitt Romney says he does want to hear from the former National Security Advisor John Bolton. That's another person, maybe, Republican, who would vote for that. Do you think it's possible that witnesses get called in the Senate trial?
I think it's possible, and I think it's worth remembering that what McConnell is asking for here is a process that could well involve the calling of witnesses. The process that he's urging is the one that was used in the Clinton impeachment trial, in which the cases were presented to the Senate, and then the Senate would act on whether to call further witnesses. In fact, in that trial, you may remember, Brett, no witnesses, live witnesses, were called, although some depositions were taken during the course of the trial outside of the Senate chamber. So something like that could happen again. And I'll say this about John Bolton. I don't think anybody knows for sure what kind of a witness he'll be. But Democrats counting on him to harm this Republican president, I think, are betting on what could turn out to be quite a long shot. I think Bolton is dying to testify. He's made that clear through his lawyer in the past that he's has a lot to say and is eager to testify. And so I guess I can understand why Democrats would hope that he'd come in and drop some bombshells. But it's not at all clear that he will. And of course, you know, Mitt Romney's saying he's prepared to support a testimony from Bolton. Well, that could come in the very process that McConnell has outlined, in which they vote midway as to whether to call witnesses. So we'll see.
Well, we talked about this yesterday. Do you think that John Bolton's going to be a hand grenade for Trump, or do you think he could actually kind of get his day in court, kind of rattle Trump a little bit, but basically say, well, he never said that directly to me?
Yeah, I think, well, I would only be speculating, but I think it would really just be about what we've heard from other witnesses. I didn't like it. I didn't like the hold. I protested the hold. But I don't think Bolton's going to be able to hand over anything that is a smoking gun that proves corrupt intent.
Because why would they not have pursued him in court?
Right.
Because they never took that step at all. And that tells me that they were worried about something that he may say.
And if you're going to run this like an actual courtroom, you do not want surprises. You know, if you're actually in the courtroom, you want to know what witnesses are going to say beforehand.
I'm wondering if someone has spoken to Bolton from Team Trump.
It's possible.
I would definitely think so.
I think both sides need to be careful with calling witnesses when you don't know what they're going to say.
And the other interesting thing is just out of nowhere, he came and said, oh, yeah, I'll testify if I'm subpoenaed. Now, they still could call executive privilege here with John Bolton, and not, then Roberts would have to rule on that. I think Roberts would rule that he doesn't have to testify.
You know, you remember it was like one of the early State of the Unions. It was Brian Williams or Tom Brokaw, somebody, and it's the State of the Union. Trump's walking in, and Robert Mueller, the shadow of Robert Mueller, hangs over the chamber. Is this now going to be, as the trial starts in the Senate, the shadow of the mustache hangs over the chamber?
I'm not sure that. I tell you one thing that I'm looking forward to. I think that if the impeachment has not begun or is in process, that is going to be some much-watched TV, State of the Union. Much-watched. Because
yeah.
Don't you know he's going to take them to task?
It's going
to
be February?
February 5th?
5th or 4th, one of the two, yeah.
That's going to be juicy.
Oh, my Lord.
It's like, well, I mean, maybe the 5th is Iowa caucus, and maybe it's way before that, but that is going to be something to watch. And I think Trump goes, did she really invite me? I'll take advantage of that. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show, we'll be back right after this.
Show.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching for something to say. Flashing lights against the sky. Giving up, I close my eyes. Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
6 to 9 Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. Trey Gowdy was also on with Maria on Sunday. We didn't get to this yesterday. I love Trey Gowdy. I'm so glad that he's getting back into focus. He's going to be talking about the Dems and impeachment and good old Al Green.
President Trump wasting no time in the new year, railing against Democrats over impeachment, tweeting today that what he calls a partisan witch hunt is only bringing more division than ever. And while the timing and scope of the eventual Senate trial are still to be determined, at least one Democrat is now openly admitting the effort to impeach the president goes way back to even before he was elected.
The argument goes like this of House Republicans and Trump and his allies, the president and his allies, is basically the Democrats wanted to impeach Donald Trump from day one. They cast about looking for a set of facts that they could plausibly use to do it, and all of it was pretextual and reverse engineered to get to this point. Exhibit one, Congressman Al Green, who's been calling for the man's impeachment for 2 years now. What's your response to that charge?
Well, the genesis of impeachment, to be very candid with you, was when the president was running for office.
Here now, Trey Gowdy. The host there seemed to be trying to get the opposite answer, that this is not political or anything like that. And then Al Green says, well, actually, it is political. It goes even deeper. How does that square with the prayerful Pelosi that we heard about?
Al Green is a gift from God, and we should buy him time during the Super Bowl so he just keeps talking. 2 years ago, Ed, he filed a impeachment resolution, and what the announcer that you just played didn't follow up on is 60 House Democrats joined with Al Green. Mm-hmm. So what else has Al Green said? He said the president should be impeached because he's fearful he may win again in 2020. So I always thought this movement began during the inaugural address. I thank Al for helping me better understand it. Actually, running for office is an impeachable offense. Not just winning, but running for office is an impeachable offense.
I'm sorry, that was Glenn Henry and his new show that he has, which is very good, by the way. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dale. Dale, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, we should be really proud here in South Alabama. The missile that took Soleimani out was produced right here in Troy. A good friend of mine is quality controlled, and he's the last step. And he puts his name on it. He called me and said, guess whose name was on the missile? I can't finish the quote.
Yeah, that's right. That made down in Troy, Alabama.
Made in Lockheed and Troy. He said he hoped they ordered another 100 because when he passes them, he said, go kill a bad guy. And he succeeded on that one.
Absolutely.
Pretty cool to have your name on the missile that took him out, though.
That is very cool.
I'm buying him a beer.
you do that. I'll chip in for that. Dale, he's gone.
That's a quick hit. He's done.
That was a quick hit. Put your name on the missile that kills Soleimani. That's pretty cool. Let me go back into Trey Gowdy here. I love this guy. It's going to be talking about impeachment in the Dems and what kind of case do they have here?
So you mentioned something a moment ago that seems important as well, that Al Green also said recently that Democrats needed to move forward on impeachment in part because they can't beat the president at the ballot box.
Yeah, at least he's honest. I give him high marks for honesty, not high marks for following the Democrat talking points. I think Tulsi Gabbard may be right. This may wind up costing them some House seats, but I don't think it'll cost them the whole House. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win in November 2020. I've always thought that this is more about retaking the Senate, putting Cory Gardner, Susan Collins, Martha McSally, Tom Tillis in tough spots, because even if President Trump wins in 2020, if he doesn't have the Senate, he's essentially a neutered president. He can't get his cabinet through, and he can't get judges through, and he couldn't get a Supreme Court vacancy through. So I've always thought this was much more about the Senate than it is removing him from office, because that ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. I like that. Trey Gowdy is really good. Ed Henry is doing a good job with his show. And he's moving into the American Newsroom slot on January the 20th. And Bill Kilmer is going to Shepard Smith's old slot for the afternoon, which I'm not sure how that one's going to work out for him. It's he just interrupts way too much. News on 93.1. Going to be back after a time of the hour break. I make me feel free.
Show.